You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is Wednesday, and it is Bible study night at Merritt Assembly God. Hopefully you can join us tonight at 7 p.m. as we dive into the Word of God. We've got another week or two in our Bible study on exiting Egypt, studying the plagues of Egypt and the deliverance of the children of Israel out of the land of slavery. And so hopefully you can join us for that. You say, well, I missed all of the other ones. And I was like, they all stand on their own merit. So if you're interested, come and join us tonight. You know, one of the things that I have found is there are topics in the Bible, and then there are times when we teach through a particular passage. One of them is called topical sermons, when you're dealing with a topic. The other is expository, where you are looking at the passage, you're looking at the context, you're looking at what it means to say and how that applies to your life. And so that's why you will hear me oftentimes talk about the context of the passage, because many times Christians will rip a promise out of a passage and forget all about the context, and then they wonder why they didn't get the recipe or the results that, you know, they thought they were going to get. They thought they had a recipe, and instead they just had an action. So anyway, hopefully you can come out and join us. We do teach the Bible, the Word of God, and we like to share that in context. And I will tell you, with the Wednesday night Bible study, there was a whole lot of stuff that I have read for years and years and years and just kind of glossed right over, you know, in my reading, and failed to even see what was clearly written there right in front of us. And so I believe if you're a new Christian, or if you've been a Christian for a long, long time, you would be blessed to be a part of our Bible study on Wednesday night. We have a kids class, a young adults class, and we'd love to see you tonight at 7 p.m. So thank you for joining us. So today we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." And so where the term law is used there, it means the law of Moses, the Torah. It is what God had uttered to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Sometimes it refers to the whole Old Testament. Sometimes it refers to the legal system. But ultimately, because man was not able to keep that, and the Old Testament says if you are guilty of one area of the law, you are guilty of the whole thing, that we needed someone who could come and fulfill all of those requirements, and that is what Jesus did for us. He came and lived a perfect life, and then he died for our sin, not because he had done anything wrong, but because he was qualified, having lived a sinless life, and he had been committed since before the foundation of the world to be slain for the sins of the world. He came and paid the price for my sin and your sin, because the Father loves us, Jesus, God the Son, loves us, and God the Holy Spirit loves us. So, biblical gatherings of believers were actually referred to as love feasts, where the unconditional love of God was something that the people looked forward to coming and experiencing together. And so that's what we are talking about here. The very first law that is mentioned, we talked about this on yesterday's program, is you shall not commit adultery. And, you know, I wish that in 2026 that the body of Christ had gotten this simple truth down, that you shall not commit adultery. There's no caveats. There are no loopholes. It is a very clear biblical mandate, Old Testament, New Testament, contemporary time, historically, and from this time forward, that men and women who are married to one another are meant to be faithful to one another and to the God who united them. That's what we are called to do. But yet, adultery still prevails in our society, or permeates would be a better word. I can't say prevails, because that would mean victory, but it still happens, and it still happens way too much. It happens with unbelievers, and it happens too much in the church, and sadly, it happens too much even among ministers. So what happened? Well, the Bible says that divorce was permitted by Moses because of the hardness of people's hearts. So adultery is not because someone made the other person mad. It's not, well, they did this, so I'm going to get even, and I'm going to go out and do the same thing that they did. None of that is the root cause. The root problem of adultery is hardness of heart. It is an innermost being. It's not, well, you know, it just happened. Okay. So I'm from the middle part of the country, and I want you to know what we call that type of rationale in the middle part of the country. That's baloney. It didn't just happen. There were a lot of intentional decisions made along the way, bad decisions, and they were not made out of love. They were made because of the hardness of heart. There's an innermost being there. And maybe the area of commandment in that is, that you are vulnerable in, maybe it's not adultery, maybe it's something else, but the problem isn't the commandment. The problem is the condition of our heart. And so because God loves us, he has made for us the availability and opportunity to invite Jesus to come and be the Lord, not just of our Sunday mornings, not just Lord of our forever, but Lord of our here and now. And so since we're talking in the area of adultery, if money, you know, we talked about spiritual adultery. Well, the New Testament says that greed is a form of idolatry. It's putting another god before God. So it's spiritual adultery. And it's an indicator that there is something out of line with our heart. And so we don't commit it because we allow God to come in and change our heart. And I hope that all of us realize that God's still working on us to make us more like Jesus, more into the image that he has for us all throughout our journey. If you're breathing, God's still working on you. I'm breathing. God's still working on me. And so if you go down the list of mandates and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to you in a still small voice and brings up a vulnerability that you have or I have, we best pay attention because it's not coming as a surprise to God. It may be revelation for us. And I will tell you that whenever God reveals to me that there's an area of vulnerability in my life, I go to fortify that area in Christ rather than waiting for an invasion of the enemy that is going to be disgraceful and dishonoring to my Lord and Savior. I don't want to fail. I don't want those failures in my life. And so the thing for us to consider is to be tenderhearted before God, sensitive to his still small voice, so that we have a heart to live the life that he wants us to live. The second one is you shall not murder. And we think about that and, you know, that sounds like something that would be very, very rare. But if you look throughout history, you don't have to be reading the Bible very long to find out that it wasn't long after they were removed from the Garden of Eden that Cain murdered Abel. There are more people murdered for their faith in Jesus Christ in our modern times than there has been throughout the history of the world, and there have been a lot. I will say this, a lot of people think that that Christianity is part of the problem. But I will tell you, even though we do have bad periods of time where, you know, people who were supposedly doing things for Jesus did very evil things, I would tell you that godless humanity does not recognize the value of life. And as a result, there have been huge atrocities against mankind, because if you don't believe in God, then you don't believe in consequences. And as a result of that, everybody around you is expendable, because if they're not helping you to get what you want, then you need to get them out of the way. That is a godless philosophy. I remember there was a gentleman, he celebrated his 80th birthday at Merit Assembly of God. This was a long time ago. He had lived through World War I'm not sure if he'd lived through World War I. I think he did. He would have. He lived through World War II, the Korean War. And he had seen some of the worst mass homicidal campaigns, and he said, "Bob, it's not hard to remain a dictator. All you've got to be willing to do is to kill your own people." And that's 100. I mean, it's true. But that sort of mindset of removing anybody that's out of your way, for instance, King Herod in the Bible killed his own sons. He didn't kill all of them, but, you know, he was quite a lunatic. And, you know, he knew that everybody hated him, and so he actually had set it up that when he died that they were supposed to kill a whole lot of people in society that were admired and appreciated, because he wanted the people to lament, and he thought that they would be crying over him. The goal for me is there's a king in that of Israel that died, and he said, and he passed away to no one's regret. I want to live a life that people are glad that I'm alive. And I don't want to continue to stay where God has me by force or coercion or eliminating any threats or things like that. If you ever devolve into that sort of mindset, you have missed the heart of God, because Jesus is life. God is life. And you realize that God has people on the planet for a divine purpose. And you and I, we need to make sure that we have not shifted the responsibility of deciding who lives and dies into our hands. There's already enough loss of life because we live in a fallen world. There are people who die from sickness and disease. There are people who die from accidents. But it's really sad when people who are supposed to love one another end up taking one another's life. That's not what God intended. We're supposed to recognize that when God created man, he said, it is very good. Jesus came to redeem mankind. And so if you ever find someone celebrating another person's death, understand that they have missed the mark entirely. There is only one person's death that I celebrate, and it is Jesus, because Jesus' death was part of the redemptive process, redemptive plan of God, and his death was going to result in his resurrection, his taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave, ascending to the right hand of the Father, and thus he is not subject to death. He has conquered death for our sake. So whenever you look around at someone, you got to remember you're not doing warfare against people. People are not the problem. Now, there are people who've embraced philosophies. There are people who commit blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is ascribing to the devil things that the Holy Spirit is actually doing. You don't want to do that. That's so I am very cautious when dealing with the Holy Spirit. I don't tell jokes about the Holy Spirit, and I certainly don't want to ascribe the actions of a perfectly holy God to an unholy, non-redemptive agent of hell. Not interested in doing that. I'm thankful that God works for us and knows us very well. So whenever you see people, you need to say there's something valuable about that person. And here's what I would tell you, that if the enemy has them bound in chains and, you know, strongholds and addictions, that there must be something that they see in that person that makes them a desirable target, and they must be valuable to the kingdom of God. When Moses was born, there was mass murder, because there was a deliverer who was on the horizon. There was mass murder when Jesus was born, because the Savior was on his way. And there is a huge intentional international assault on life at its very earliest forms. And I'm telling you, I believe that God has very special plans and purposes for this generation. We need to appreciate life, not try to destroy it. So the next one is, you shall not steal. So while some people are trying to kill that which they are supposed to love, there are others who are looking to steal from that person that they are supposed to love. A thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. They have made a decision that what belongs to another person, that person does not deserve that, that they are more entitled to it than the person who owned it, purchased it, worked hard for it, had relationships with it, whatever. And so it is a huge error on their part to think they're the ones that gets to decide who possesses that and who doesn't. So I had a job. I worked retail for, I think, 13 years, something like that. It was a long time. And in my second job of retail as an adult, I worked retail, you know, in high school as well. But there was a person that worked at the customer service counter of a department store, and somehow they had managed to figure out how to steal funds from customers who were making returns. And I remember being at work the day that they came and arrested that person, who from that day forward would have a record. The amount of money that they stole was very, very little. And, you know, it was because they did not appreciate their job. Sometimes people steal because they have a love for their addiction more than they have for the love of people. I know people who have stolen from their family members who were loving them sacrificially, and they stole from them and experienced the challenges and the damage that comes from that. And so I want you to understand that stealing is not a victimless incident. It is indicative of a person who is not living under the law of love. That we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Those are the things we're supposed to do. Here's what I can tell you, that if you ever... Okay, so stealing is a sign of discontent. So it is saying that I would do a better job of providing for myself by taking from someone else than God could do as being my provider. And I would tell you that no one will ever treat you better than God will. A lot of times people, you know, want things right away. They want it right now. And, you know, God may be doing something that is beyond what you can think or what you can ask. And all he is doing is working behind the scenes. And too many times people short circuit the blessings of God because they go out and take matters into their own hands instead of trusting Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, the Lord who provides himself. And so that's a huge problem. Right now, there's been huge exposures of people who have created entire industries focused on stealing from other people. So let me give you this electronic advice, and that is, don't click on links and emails that are supposedly coming from some person that you know. Here's what happened to me probably a month ago. I got an email from a person that I know, and it had all of their information. It had their email address. It was even worded in such a way that they would have, it wouldn't have been strange if they had sent an email. And so what I did was I sent the person a text and I said, "Did you send this email to me?" And they said, "No." And I told them what was going on, and someone had hijacked their email account and stuff like that. There are people who do that, and I don't know how. You know, I'm thankful that my mind is a little on the naive side and that I don't know how they end up, you know, convincing people to send them money from stuff like that. But there's an entire industry. It used to be faxes from somebody overseas that you had a long lost relative. You don't want to buy into that. Don't make yourself vulnerable. So don't click on links and emails. And if someone calls you on the phone, listen, I'm transitioning from "thou shalt not steal" to "make sure that you don't get stolen from." Okay. So if someone calls you on the phone and says you owe this amount of money to your bank or to the government or whatever, and they say you got to go get us gift cards and all of that sort of stuff, that's a scam. Don't allow the thief to prosper. Okay. Don't make yourself available. And so if you find yourself, you know, being scammed like that, call the police, get all the help, go to your pastor, get somebody who can help you to navigate those situations, because you are not meant to be a victim. You're meant to be victorious. We don't want to be people who steal. We also don't want to be people who are stolen from. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. And I hope that's how you will live today. God bless you. You have a great day. We will see you tomorrow right here on WMIE and the Refresh radio program. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."